Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. Let me encourage you to continue to pray for Shirley and the Hansen family. Remember them in your prayers. The wound is still fresh. They need your prayers, and not only your prayers, but they need to hear your voice, see your person, and I pray that you will offer yourself to service to them. There's a couple of things I wanted to say about the arrangements of the funeral yesterday that I thought was outstanding. Number one, they had the funeral in the church. I think that's where you ought to have your funeral, in the church. And then instead of special singing, there was congregational singing, which I thought was simply outstanding. It was more of a worship service than a funeral service. And I am grateful to the family that they chose to go that route. I've always wanted my funeral in the church, but now I want the singing to be congregational at my funeral. And how great thou art is a good one. Amen. Amazing Grace is another one. But I thought how perfect that was yesterday, and grateful to the family for doing it that way and being sensitive to the Lord. Well, let's pray, and then we want to read the text before us, eight verses, nine verses, verse 18 through 16, and then we'll try to say some things that I hope tonight will be helpful to each of you and glorifying to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be here tonight. We know that every breath, every bit of strength, every ability to be here tonight comes from You. And so we are grateful that we are able to be here. Grateful that we have a place to be tonight. Grateful that our hearts desire to be here with God's people to worship You. And I pray that You would give everyone here what they need, that You'd meet the very needs of their hearts, and that You would glorify Yourself in doing so. May Your word tonight go forth with power, and may You use it to accomplish everything that You have written in history to accomplish. May that be done tonight. And we'll praise You and thank You for it in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That's the word of God, even though it is the Old Testament, it is the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. Now, in the context of this passage, the miraculous exodus of Israel from Egyptian bondage has happened only two chapters before the text that we just read. So the children of Israel are in the midst of this lengthy journey through the wilderness, making their way to the promised land of Canaan. And verse 1 of this chapter records for us that they had stopped and they had camped at a place called Rephidim. And the text tells us that there was no water there. So the people of God complained against Moses. And in the midst of these complaints, Moses cries out to the Lord. And the Lord speaks to Moses and instructs him to take the staff that was used to do wonders in Egypt, go to a rock, strike it in the presence of the people. And when Moses obeyed the word of the Lord, water flooded from that rock like a fountain, and the people were refreshed. But on the heels of that particular miracle and provision, before they could break camp and begin movement again, another crisis arose. Amalek and the Amalekites attacked the people of God. Now, just for some historical understanding, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau, the brother of Jacob. And long after both Esau and Jacob, with all the tension between those two brothers that began in their mother's womb, that tension continues in the text that we have before us in Israel and Amalek. Amalek saw an opportunity here. He saw the people of Israel who were weak and weary from their trip. And he decided that he was going to plunder them, to defeat them and take what they have. And Amalek's strategy was that he would attack the people of God from the rear, where typically the weak and the elderly traveled in the back of this procession. So he attacks the portion of people who were not able to help themselves. And this is the first military battle in Israel's history. They had been attacked before, but this is the first time that they had to fight back. You remember the Egyptians pursued them after Pharaoh had let them go, and God told the Hebrew people that the Lord would fight for them. And they would only have to be silent and still. They didn't have to lift a finger. And God fought the Egyptian army himself. Sometimes God does that. But here, in this text, God doesn't do that. Here, God does not fight for Israel. God fights through Israel. Say amen. There are times when God will fight for you, but more often God will fight through you and with you. Say amen. Which means you got to fight. Right? Israel has to fight for themselves in the text that we just read. But as they were to fight, God was going to give them the victory. There was no question about that. God was going to give them the victory, but they were not going to be able to sit still and silent and see the victory won for them. They were going to have to be a part of the equation. And when God gave them the victory over Amalek, we'll see this as we get to the end of the sermon. God tells Moses to write it all down, put it in a book, so that it will serve as encouragement for future battles. We'll get back to that. So I was thinking, just as God delivered Israel from the bondage of Egypt and the oppression of Pharaoh, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin by God's mighty power and outstretched hand. And we are saved because God gave us victory. Say amen. And from Egypt to Canaan, there were battles all along the way for the Israelites. And in our journey, from salvation to glory, there will be battles as well as there will be blessings. Now, I understand all we really want is the blessings, but there will be battles as well. Say amen. And as I said this morning, this physical battle of Israel pictures for us spiritual battles that we must fight. And many times the physical things in our life translate to spiritual battles as well. But I want to remind you tonight, in overshadowing everything, that God is able to give you victory over each and every spiritual battle you face. So let's see what we can learn from this text tonight about fighting and about our spiritual battles. Number one, there must be dependence on God in the battle. Say amen. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, Moses says, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod or the staff of God in my hand. So do the Israelites have to fight? Yes. Joshua chooses the men who are going to fight against Amalek. But I want you to know that these men are unarmed, they're untrained, and they're inexperienced at war. They just came out of Egypt, where they were what? Slaves. You see, they're slaves, they're not soldiers. But Moses said it was time to fight. But there is a secret weapon for these unarmed, untrained, inexperienced men at war. And Moses is going to deploy that secret weapon. Moses said, tomorrow, while you men are fighting, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And if you were able to pass by that day and just see what was going on, you would have seen the men of Israel fighting against the troops of Amalek while Moses stood on a hill with a stick in the air. What in the world is Moses doing? Well, Moses did not take this elevated position on this hill so that he might give tactical leadership to the battle. He wasn't qualified to do that anyway. Moses had been a slave, he had been a prince, and he had been a shepherd. He had absolutely no military experience. So he's not standing up there giving orders on how the battle should go. Nor does Moses go on top of this hill to use his staff as a magic wand to curse Amalek and bless Israel. No, Moses goes on this hillside lifting his staff as an appeal to God for divine intervention. What Moses understood was this: we cannot win this battle. We are too weak. We are too inexperienced. We have no ability to win this battle. We must have the intervention of God. In other words, Moses went up on this hill so that he could talk to God. And the uplifted staff of Moses reflects his uplifted heart to the Lord. Moses is appealing to God to help them win a battle that they could not win on their own. And there are a lot of battles that, if you'll be honest, you can't win on your own. And you need the Lord. Look at verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed in the battle. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So what we see here from this account is that this battle between Israel and the Amalekites is a seesaw battle. There's Israel. There's moments when Israel seems to have all the momentum, and then suddenly it switches and all the momentum is with the Amalekites. But look at the text. What is happening on the top of the hill seems to be determining what's happening at the bottom of the hill. Somebody help me. Are you with me? Are you awake? Let me say that again. Let's make sure you get it. What was going on the top of the hill seemed to be determining what was happening at the bottom of the hill. Isn't that how the writer puts it? The battle seems to correspond to this man on the hill raising this stick. Doesn't seem to me that the victory is based on Joshua's military leadership, nor does it seem to be based on the fight in the men of Israel. Victory seems to be based on the prayer of Moses. Are you with me? You see, we try to solve things in our own strength. We try to solve and fight our battles in our own power. No. The victory in the battles that we face spiritually are not won in our own abilities or our own strength or in our own ingenuity. They're won in prayer to God. The way to win the spiritual battles that you face is to fight them on your knees. Are you with me? Prayer, according to this account, is mightier than the sword. Prayer to God can do what the sword cannot do. One man with God can do what armies cannot do. E.M. Bounds wrote this, quote, "Prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle." Close quote. Now listen. You've got to remember why you pray is more important than how you pray. It's not the way Moses prayed. It's why he prayed. He knew, Moses knew, that success was not going to come by their own resources. So he knew the help of God was the only way for victory. That's why you pray. You pray because the only hope you have is in God. This idea of Moses lifting up his hands in prayer symbolizes his dependence upon God. It symbolizes faith in God. It symbolizes confidence in God. And I want you to hear me well tonight. Once you come to the stage that you realize what really shifts the battle in your favor, you will keep your hands up reaching toward God. When you realize what really shifts the battle, you'll take some time and turn some things off in your house and get alone with God and lift up your hands to Him. When you realize what wins the battle, you'll spend more time in prayer, not less. So here's a common misunderstanding. We think when we pray, things will improve. And when we don't pray, things will stay the same. That's not true. When Moses lifted his hands, Israel prevailed. And when he dropped his hands, nothing, it didn't stay the same. Amalek prevailed. You see, your prayerlessness, your lack of prayer doesn't leave things in neutral. Every time you try to handle things in your own strength instead of taking them to God in prayer, you only give strength and room for the enemy to advance in your life. Number two. Not only do we see here in the text the dependence in the battle, but secondly, I want you to see the difficulty of the battle. Verse 12. Here's Moses on the mountain, lifting his hands to God, appealing for divine intervention from God, knowing that the only hope they have is if God would somehow come down and help them fight the battle. But verse 12 tells us about the difficulty of all this. What's it say? But Moses' hands were what? Heavy. Weak. And they, Aaron and Hur, took stone, put it under him, and he sat down on it. And then Aaron and Hur held up his hands. Are you with me? The one on the one side and the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, can we safely assume tonight that Joshua's hands down on the battlefield had become heavy as well? But we're not told anything about Joshua. As if his hands were really doing anything. No, it was the hands of Moses that were important. It was Moses' hands that had become heavy in his reaching up to God in his prayer for God to intervene. Listen to me tonight. Prayer is not an easy thing. If it was easy, we'd all be better at it. We stink at it. Prayer's hard. And there is a tendency for us to grow weary and weak in prayer because that's our natural fleshly condition. It's why you can stay up half the night binge watching some new Netflix series and you can't pray for 2 minutes without falling asleep. Somebody help me. It's why you can talk to hours to a friend about what you're going through, but you can't spend very much time talking to God about it. Now listen, the devil don't mind you talking to people who can't do anything about your situation. He just doesn't want you talking to God. Our flesh resists prayer. Prayer, someone said, is the hardest thing God ever asks you to do. Say amen. And praying seems easy, doesn't it? But if it was easy, why do we not do it more? We always try to work it out ourselves and then go to prayer as the what? Last resort. I'm here to tell you tonight that prayer is harder than preaching a sermon. Prayer is harder than going to church. Prayer is harder than reading a book. And for some of you, that's hard. You and I can engage in activities around the church that will not make one bit of difference in your battle. Prayer is a struggle. Moses struggled with prayer. And understand something. The very existence of the nation was at stake. And he still struggled with prayer. He still became weary. He still became weak. But I want you to hear me. Moses was no doubt God's man, but Moses was still just a man. But God uses Moses in a way that when the victory comes, Moses can't take the credit. Say amen. Moses can't say, boys, I tell you what, I'm glad we won, but if it wasn't for me holding my hands up, we'd have been in trouble. No, Moses couldn't even hold his hands up. He had to have help. But Moses was wise enough not to go on that hill by himself. Say amen. Some of you need to get that. Don't be so unwise that you go and climb that hill by yourself. What did Moses do? He took Aaron and he took Hur with him. Say amen. If you are here tonight going through battles, spiritual battles, and you think you can win those battles by yourself, you are only deceiving yourself. Aaron is Moses' brother. And Hur, they think, scholars think, might have been Moses' son-in-law. We're not sure. But when Moses got weary, when Moses' hands got heavy, Aaron and Hur found a rock for him to sit on. And then Moses got so weary that even sitting, he couldn't hold his arms up. So Aaron stood on one side and Hur stood on the other and held Moses' arms up until the battle was won. You know, sometimes the spirit's willing and the flesh is weak. There are times when you feel you need to pray, but the flesh just won't cooperate. This is a vivid reminder that we all are weak and we all need to be helped in our prayers. There is not a time when you do not need help from your brothers and sisters praying for you and praying with you. Are you with me? Now, some of you thinking you can do this all on your own, it's only you and just you and God, you're a fool. Moses took Aaron and Hur. Why did he take Aaron and Hur? Because he knew he was weak. There are those who may look strong, but they are really weak and weary and in need of help. Can I ask you a question tonight? Who in this room tonight are you holding their hands up? Who is it that you are holding their hands up? That you are actively involved, actively praying, actively encouraging, actively helping those who are weak and weary? Who? Most of us are too busy. A lot of times we're too proud to admit that our arms are getting heavy. Oftentimes we're too proud to admit we need help. Oftentimes we're too proud to admit if we don't get some help, we're not going to make it. No matter how sincere you are, your flesh is weak. Maybe we all need to hit the altar tonight. We don't do that very much. Maybe we all ought to hit the altar tonight and ask God to humble us, to be like Moses and admit our weakness and need for help from others. We need to be like Aaron and Hur as well. We need to help those who are struggling, those who are weary. We are to come to them and we are to lift them up. Which is, by the way, The reason why your faith cannot be sustained by a live stream on the internet. You need more than a sermon. You need more than an outline. You need more than singing. You need an Aaron and you need a her in the church that will hold you up when you are weak and weary. Those who dismiss the importance of church attendance are just plain silly. Ministry is about you finding someone in the church that is weak and weary and being an Aaron and her by asking if there's anything you can do to help. Say amen. Whose hands you holding up? How you being an Aaron? How you being a her? Whose weak and weary hands are you making steady? If you don't know anyone, come to me. I'll give you some names. Say amen. And how long are we to do it, preacher? As long as it takes, till victory comes. Say amen. Number three. Are you tracking with me? Smelling what I'm stepping in? We need to be like Moses in the fact that we enlist others to help us because we know we're weak and weary. And we need to be like Aaron and Hur. We need to come beside those who are weak and weary and we need to lift their arms up. We need to help them. We need to pray with them. We need to encourage them. We need to minister to them, help them in any way that we can. Say amen. The difficulty of the battle the dependence in the battle and then finally I want to talk about the duty in the battle. Verse 13 through 16. And Joshua defeated Amalek. Why did Joshua and the Israelites defeat Amalek? Because of Aaron and Hur holding the arms of Moses toward the heavens. Joshua defeats Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Write this down. Put it in a book. Sounds like a country song, doesn't it? And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Keep telling Joshua over and over and over again. Don't let Joshua forget what has happened here this day. Why is that important? Because when they get to the promised land, it won't be Moses who's in leadership, it'll be Joshua. God says, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now are you listening? Just because you pray, just because you hold someone's arms up in prayer doesn't mean you don't have to fight. You got to fight. Right? But you have to fight remembering that God is going to give the victory as you fight. Say amen. The text says Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You have to fight these battles, but you have to fight these battles with full confidence in God. And you have to fight these battles by remembering the past faithfulness of God. Right? There are going to be battles with Amalek from generation to generation. But when they face another battle, they are to remember what God had done for them here. You need to remember the power of God in the past. Has He not always been there? Has He not always come to your aid?
Hasn't he delivered powerfully and miraculously in your life before? Understand this, there are many more battles for us to fight. We're not home yet. Do not let your spiritual battles paralyze you and keep you from going forward. Do not forget what God has already done. Could we not stop and take inventory tonight, one by one, of all that God has done? This victory in this setting should compel you to go forward knowing what God has done in the past and knowing He's able to do it again. Are you listening? The Bible says there are new mercies every single morning. Amen. Say amen. And I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how hard it is. If God woke you up this morning, you're still in His plan. The past performances of God are His resume for your future. Are you with me? Listen, you need to write some things down. You need a pen. You need a paper. You need to start a faith file. You need to write down all the times that God stepped in and won victories for you. You need to write down the times when your month was longer than your paychecks, but God paid all your bills on time. Somebody help me. You need to remember the time you didn't have a job, and then God brought you a job. You need to remember the time when your family seemed to be falling apart, and God held it together. You need to write some things down. Because this is not the first crisis you've had to face. It won't be the last. But God is faithful. How many of you can think right now of something in your past that God met the need, God supplied, God delivered, and as a way of testimony to His past work, you raise your hand and say, I remember a thing in my life where God directly helped me. Listen to me. The God that did that yesterday is not dead. He's not hurt and He's not weak. The God that did for you yesterday is the same God that's able to do for you today and tomorrow. So do not forget what God has already done for you. Praise Him for His power. Praise Him for His promise. Look at verse 15. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. You know what that means? The Lord is our banner. Say amen. The Lord is our banner. We are a people. We're God's people. Yes? We're God's people who God has promised. God has promised to intervene on our behalf. And He has promised to defeat our enemies. Say amen. Amen. So let's stop tonight and let's go ahead and give God all the glory. Give Him all the praise. Give Him all the glory. I'm going to tell you what we need to do. God is our banner. Say amen. That banner was held high in the military parades as they came back victorious and walked the streets of the city, and that banner was held high in victory. God is our banner. We ought to have a parade tonight. We ought to have a parade for God. Say amen. He has given us the victory in all of our battles, and He has promised to give us victory in all of our future. Remember what God's done. Remember what God's promised. And hold that banner high. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Let's pray.